All right, let's look in Psalm tonight. Just open your Bible right about in the middle and you'll hit Psalms. And then look for 17, Psalm 17. And verse 15. Remember the tracts back there. Pass out tracts. Try to get people to come to church. And, you got any friends? Everybody's got friends. Everybody's worried about friends. I'll be worried about people dying and going to hell. I'll be worrying about people wrecking their lives and ending up this a disaster. Help them to get in the house of God where they can hear the word of God and get some understanding and some wisdom. Sure am glad I wandered in one day. Yeah, sure am. Saying about it the other day, we went down to pass the hat factory to get a, some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. Well, but to get a something she bought from somebody on the,
we bought a shelf.
Yeah, bought a bookshelf to go in the room back here so we can get that going. And anyways, went by the hat factory. What was the hat factory? It's the onion factory now. But no. But it's, the front's familiar and the parking lot on one side. I mean, we went by and I said, what if I'd have never went to work here? Just think how different it would be. Yeah, it's the little things in your life that make all the difference. You make a difference in somebody else's life too. Just people you work with, people you meet along the way. You never know what just a few words spoken like, why don't you come to church with me, would do in somebody's life. Don't be ashamed of the Lord, and don't be ashamed of your church. Man, I don't believe you ought to be. Psalm 17, are you there? As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Let me read you another verse. Just listen to me and I'll read it to you. It's Matthew 5, verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for the songs and thank you for the word of God we've read. Please bless it. Open our understanding to the word of God like you did to those Emmaus disciples, Lord. I pray you'd enlighten our minds and open our understanding that we could hear and understand the word of life in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, he said, as for me, I don't care what everybody else does. As for me, it's kind of like Joshua said, as for me, in my house, we'll serve the Lord. Now, the rest of you, whatever you want to do, it's your decision. But I'm telling you how it is for me and my house. And as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. You ain't going to look at God any other way. You ain't going to behold God's face any other way but in righteousness. You understand? Holiness. Living in righteousness. Doing what's right in the sight of God. As don't entertain the thought that you're going to go to heaven without doing that. That's the mark. The desire. Now, that's what I want to say to you tonight, and I'm going to try to be quick because I'm tired as the rest of you. Holiness is that which honors and sanctifies God in the eyes of God and others. Holiness is that which sanctifies God and honors God in His sight and in the sight of others. We're a living testimony. We're His epistles written in flesh. We're what other people see and read to know about God. They form their opinions of God and His work by us. We're ambassadors for Christ, the Bible says. We're His representatives in this world. Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. They were called Christians first at Antioch because they acted like, they reminded everybody there of Him. They gave Him that name in mockery as a... it was derogatory. That's the way they meant it, because Jesus despised and rejected of men. You acting just like Him. We ought to be glad to have that testimony. We ought to strive to have that testimony that we honor God and we represent him well. You see, I've said it before to you, but all the rights and wrongs and all of the arguments people put up about, is it okay to do this? Or you think it's a sin to do this? Or you think that'll send you to hell? All that's totally irrelevant. Your life, if you claim to be a Christian, then your life, the whole purpose, the whole thing about everything, it's all summed up in this. God's honor is at stake with what you do or don't do, what you say or don't say. Your attitude toward other people and the way you treat it, it's God's honor that's at stake. They blaspheme God because of what we say or don't say, or when we don't do it well, when we don't act godly, and when we don't live in holiness, we give great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, to mock him, and to curse him, and to disregard him, and to lightly esteem him. That's what's at stake. Now, do you really think it's that important, that thing you love, that thing you cling to, that thing you defend so vehemently? Because you don't think there's anything wrong with you doing it, having it, saying it, going there, being that way. See, it's the universe and eternity is not about you or me. It's about God. Jesus is to have the preeminence in everything, in all things, the Bible says. Amen? Amen. He's the one we worship and honor. He's the King. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. He's the only potentate. That means all-powerful one. All power is given unto him in heaven and earth. And so he's worthy of being worshipped. And it is about him. It's not about us. And so our life is to be lived to honor him. And if you really are a Christian, you're going to have that desire. Holiness is the one thing that idolaters always leave off in their worship and their service to their imaginary God. You hear me? That's the thing that's missing, isn't it? Always. In apostate religion, I call it idolatry, and people don't understand. They think that I'm talking about worshiping stone figures or something. No, idolatry is people who worship God and call him Jesus, but they don't live holy. They're worshiping another God, another Jesus that they've imagined in their heart. God is holy. And you got to worship him in righteousness. You don't have any hope of ever sinning. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Now that's the way it is. And the Bible says that apostate Christianity always tosses holiness overboard and mocks at the idea of holiness. See, that's the difference. Now, isn't it? Think about it. Why can't we fill these pews? Because you got a preacher that will not preach loose living and sinful religion. And people won't have it. It's what I told you this morning. If you want to fill the pews, and if that's all that matters to you, then just start telling people what they want to hear. Don't say anything about their sin, and they'll be okay with you. But it's phony, false religion. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. So if I tell you that it don't matter how you live, and that God's okay with your sin, and that we're all sinners, and God understands, and God just overlooks it like everybody else is telling them, then I'm having a part in sending you to hell. That's what I'm doing. Because you ain't going to heaven that way. There's no sin going to enter there. We're told a list of sinners who aren't going. Fornicators, thieves, liars, all of those are not going. They shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now that's the way it is. The Bible says so. And so I got to tell you that. Or I'm not faithful. And I'm not honest. And I'm not doing right by you or God. The desire for holiness is the sign of life in a child of God. The desire for holiness. Now, what's holiness? I done told you once. It's the measure of how well your life represents the character and heart of God before others. How well your life represents the character of God for others. God is what? He's holy. What else is he? The Bible says God is love. Now, if you don't love people, always, always. That's a big, important little key word there. God loves always. Even in judgment, he loves. And if we don't do that, we're not representing God well, are we? God forgives. He's willing to forgive. If we're not, then we're not representing God well, are we? God's patient and long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish. Now, if we're not like that with other people, then we're not representing God very well, are we? God's holy. There's no sin in God. Christ had no sin. He's pure, holy. And if we don't live a life that's like that, we're not representing God well, are we? If we partake in the sins of the world, if we run with sinners and we talk like them and we walk like them and we act like them and we love the things they love, we're not representing God very well, are we? So Jesus ate with sinners. He didn't make them his pals. He didn't do it in that way. He didn't go party with them and talk their jive talk and their profane things and try to make them like him. That ain't the way it was at all. Jesus was in control of the situation when he was with sinners. They weren't. He didn't go to their parties and partake of their things. When he went there, wasn't long till his mother said, whatever he says, do. Remember that? He went to a wedding. Remember that? First miracle Jesus did. He went to a wedding. And that's what his mother said, what he tells you, do. And first thing you know, he's telling him, fill all these water pots with water, and you know. He didn't go there and just drink wine with them. No. Nothing, and so we can't do that either. Now, if you want to justify going and running with the world, you better realize that little fact. You ain't in control out there. When you go out there and run with the world, they're feeding you. You're not feeding them. When you go out there, they're influencing you. You're not influencing them. They're putting into you, into your mind, into your life, into your kids, what they want in them, not what you want in them. You ain't putting into the world nothing. I mean, they're putting it into you. That's not representing God well. You know, I have a real problem when I see all these Christians like at a ball game where they're throwing beer everywhere and everybody's a cussing and everybody's half naked. That is no place for a Christian. I don't care if it's a ball game, a movie theater, if it's a whatever it is. How in the world could you defend something like that? Not representing Christ very well. We're somewhere in Papa Bluff or somewhere here a while back. The phone rang. It always does when I'm in a place like, usually right in the checkout line. Well, I picked it up and I answered it. This guy says, well, hello, Pastor. How are you doing? And I said, well, I'm okay. How are you? Well, who am I talking to? And he said, well, he gave me his name. And he said, I'm with the St. Louis Cardinals. And he said, we're having a Christian day soon. And he said, we're on a certain day. He told me the day. And he said, we'd just like for everybody to come, like for you to bring your church and come up. And, you know, we're going to, Sunday afternoon, 1:30, at Busch Stadium, we have a Christian day. Well, I wasn't mean to him or rude to him. I just said, well, I thank you for that. Thank you for the invitation, and I appreciate it. Okay, well, you know, he was nice and just got off of there, but I thought, mercy. Am I going to represent God in a place like that? Now, come on. No, sir. All right. Nothing else is true evidence of salvation if there's no sign. this is the sign of life, a desire for holiness. Now, am I being clear enough? Brother Owen, that was his big question for years. Yeah, I've heard him say it so many times. He said, the thing that got me to studying and digging in the Word of God way back there was what stole away the desire of God's people for righteousness. He grew up in the old Holiness Methodist people. And he said, you know, they had this desire to be holy and they preached about it. And that was the thing in their lives. They strove for it. As he knew people growing up that were that. And now he said it's like it's the other way around. There's no desire. Somebody says they get saved and they don't even have this desire to be right and to live holy and clean. They don't want it. They fight and resist preaching against their sin. They cling to the things of the world that they have. Some ain't mad because I preach against going to ball games and stuff like that, you know. What stole away the desire for holiness? Because that's a mark of life in a child of God. Nothing else is true evidence of salvation. Think about it. What else would be evidence for other people to see that you're really saved? When you have no desire to do right and to be right, and instead of cleaning house in your life and your heart and mind, you cling to things and hold on to them like a child that you're trying to take candy away from. What in the world's the deal here? Any type of faith or religion that doesn't produce a real desire for true holiness is not the kind that'll deliver your soul and get you to heaven. Heaven is a holy place because it's a place where God is and He's holy. And there's no sin ever going to enter there. So it's holy. How you expect to get there if you have no desire for holiness here? Well, I can pretty well explain it to you. I can explain what's happened to everything. Because salvation's been turned into a financial transaction that you imagine in your head and that you imagine takes place in heaven, and it's all an imaginary thing. It's a fantasy. It's not real life on the ground, kind of real anything to do with your life. It's all a pie in the sky by and by. It's all something that's abstract and set apart, and it's not really anything that goes on. It's the influence of Calvinism has done a lot, because you don't believe, Calvinism teaches that inability is the main pillar. You can't repent. You can't believe. You can't understand. You can't have faith. God does it all. And so the only hope you've got is that maybe you are one of the elect that God picked out before the foundation of the world. If you're lucky enough to be one of them, that's your only hope. Because you cannot believe, you cannot repent, you cannot stop sinning, you cannot do anything. You're totally unable to do anything. Calvinism, that's what Calvinism teaches. Now, they don't present it as clearly as I just did, but that's what they believe. And that's what they teach. And if you nail them down, they got to admit it. And so that's what everybody's been taught. It's the influence of the Calvinism. I know a lot of Baptist preachers, they say they hate Calvinism, but they believe it. I've heard preachers even say, well, I'm a three-point Calvinist, not a five-point. You know, they accept some of it, but not all of it. There's no way. You got to have it all. It logically follows that if you believe any point of Calvinism, you must accept it all. Or you're totally illogical. It doesn't reason out. It all goes back to this inability. I can't help it. Romans 7. See? Can't help it. Can't stop. I want to do right, but I just can't. And the best hope, the best way, the only way that that a Christian has anything, that's all he's got. The best hope he's got is that he has a desire to do right, but just can't never do it. And now we've even dropped that. You don't even have to have a desire to do right. Oh, well, I'm rambling a little bit, but let me just hurry on here. Anytime our motive is to seek the approval and acceptance of other religious people, we're not seeking true holiness. If I abstain or partake or go or whatever in order to be accepted or appear or to have the approval of some other religious people, then I'm not really seeking after holiness. I've heard a lot of people say, well, the reason I believe is because our preacher says, you know, that our preacher believes. Well, no, that ain't got nothing to do with what the deal is here. What about you? Don't you believe anything? Don't you know anything about what's right and wrong? You should never answer somebody like that and say, well, I just do this. I dress this way because that's what our preacher believes. Don't ever say that. No. There's better reason than that. Because the Bible says, you know, I wish people like that would listen to the preacher because the preacher's telling them what the Bible says and showing them out of the Bible why it ought to be that way and why they ought to do this. And they ought to give that as an answer because the Bible says this and this and this. You ought to be ready to give an answer. Always ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you. And it oughtn't to be, well, our church believes, or at our church the preacher teaches. Sorry answer. If we're trying to identify with a certain group of other religious people, we're missing the mark. And if we're trying to show everyone how disciplined and in control of ourselves we are, we're still missing the mark. That's not holiness. That's not the real desire for holiness. Now, what is holiness? It's the measure of how well our life represents the character and the heart of God to this lost world around us. And to fellow Christians also. We ought to represent God well, don't you think? We ought to live the way He wants us to live. We sing that song, don't we? True holiness has God in the center of focus, not ourselves. You're a Pharisee if all you do is look for things not to do or places not to go. Or if all you do is look for thou shalt nots, you turn into a Pharisee. If you measure your spiritual state or your spirituality by how many things you abstain from and all the things you won't do, you're just a Pharisee. That's right. Jesus didn't take kindly to Pharisees, in case you didn't. If you've never read what He said to them, He called them vipers and snakes and children of the devil and a bunch of other very ugly names. But they were very accurate, what He called them. The desire for holiness is the desire to show the world that Christ owns me and has complete control of me. That it's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. See? Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Remember that? I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. But Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's holiness, living in a way that shows people that somebody else is in control of your life and it's God. Not the preacher, not the church you go to, not the religion you've joined up with or the cult. It ain't that. It's God. It's Christ who's inspiring you, who's controlling you, who's influencing you. You're living to please Him, not somebody else, not some other group of people. That's what we've got to show the world. And you can't lie about that. It's got to be real. You got to live so that that's really what you're doing. You really want to do. It's not something you can put on and fake. The desire for holiness is to long for people to understand and know what God is like and what He desires and what His heart feels. Do you have that in you? I mean, do you look around at people you work with or your children, your family? Do you look at them and say and think in your heart about how you would just you want so bad for them to really know God, how He is? People are so deceived about God because there's so much bad representation of God in the world, misrepresentation of God in the world. If you get out here and talk to people, you'll find right away that the biggest obstacle that people will throw up in your face about coming to church or living for God is those people that go to church and how they are. How they've been hateful to them and mean or stole money or didn't pay them what they owed or done some immorality. Right? Oh, I know that's right. Done been around it too long. Done it too much. And I know that's the big obstacle. And it's what I'm preaching about tonight. You ought to live your life. You ought to have a desire for holiness. A desire to represent God as He is. So people could know Him as He is. You know, there's probably not any of us here tonight who are saved that won't accredit up to a big part of our salvation to somebody that we saw Jesus in. We knew somebody that acted like Him. We knew somebody that made us see Him as He is. That's right. I can. I'm sure you can too. That's the way it works. We see others before we see God. That's why He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You're my ambassadors. You're my representatives. You're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. Get out there and tell them. But do it right. We've had a lot of instruction that's wrong about being so militant and aggressive and like we're warriors conquering. No, we're not warriors conquering. We're representatives of God, and we need to do it right. And in order to do it right, you got to live right. You ain't going to influence nobody but except for bad when you won't live right and do right. The desire for holiness is the desire to be like Christ, not in His power and majesty, but in His compassion, His love, and in His forgiveness. It's wonderful when you become that way, and then you realize Jesus was that way too. When you can identify with Him in these things, it's a wonderful thing. It's terrible when you look in the mirror and say, boy, and you really know. I mean, your own conscience tells you and the Holy Spirit tells you, you ain't nothing like Him. What would Jesus do? Well, as long as you know what Jesus is really like, that's a good thing to ask yourself. But if you got a phony, false idea of what Jesus is like, it's just more deception for your soul. I heard somebody the other day, she told me, said somebody, their dad's a sodomite. And she said after the Supreme Court ruled against the sodomites in that cake issue and said the baker didn't have to make the cake, she said, well, all I got to say is Jesus would have made the blankety-blank cake. Now, she don't know Jesus. Not at all. Jesus would not make a cake for a pair of sodomites to celebrate their wedding. What would Jesus do? You see, that messed up. First thing, you got to know Him yourself. And you got to know what He's like. And the reason she believes such nonsense is because some lousy representatives, they ain't really representatives, they're phonies. They're of the devil. And they've convinced her that Jesus is something that He's not. When a person has no desire for holiness, they can have no real part with God. And we miss it in our children. And in others. I mean, what I'm saying is we settle for them being good kids and wearing a religious veneer. And buddy, I've seen it over two or three or more generations that I've been in church. I've watched them. And as long as, I mean, years ago, if they'd cut their hair right, if they'd dress halfway right, if they'd come to church and be a part of the youth group, and that's good enough, man, we's glad. Good kids. And I've seen the vast majority of them go to the devil and to the world. Because we're satisfied with them just being there. We're satisfied with them just playing along, meeting all the requirements. And that ain't holiness. That ain't holiness. No, sir. We settle for a lot less. We settle for kids just coming to church and being a part. We ought to look carefully and check for that sign of life. Was there ever a real desire in them to do right? To to be right before God? Was there ever any real love for God in their heart? Was there ever a fire in their soul? Was there ever any zeal for God and His righteousness? Was there? Or were they just a part of the party? That's what it's been at church. Most of the time that I've been around, it was all just about fun and games and just push a little Jesus in there once in a while you're having fun and games. Got to have more than that. We ought to look carefully and check for the sign of life. That is a desire for true holiness. If you don't have that, if you don't have that, you don't have life. And if we, you know, if they don't have a concern for what their life is saying to others about God, then they have no concern for God. And they don't love God. Now I'm talking about everybody, not just young people. Heaven is a place for those who love the Lord, isn't it? That's what it says. He went to prepare a place for them that love Him. If they claim to care about God but not about holiness, then they're an idolater and not a true worshiper of God. And that's what the churches are filled with now. People who go there and they worship. This is worshiping. You get the music going and the smoke going and the noise and the drums are beating and you close your eyes and wave your hands and you're worshiping. Ain't that right? Worshiping what? It ain't a God who's holy. Because they're not holy. I mean, they're doing everything under the sun. Was that guy's name I seen a few years ago? He was kicking people in the face and stomping them and had tattoos all over him and a preacher. Todd something another. Filthy demon is what he is. But they was worshiping, man. The music was going, that rhythmless witchy music going in the background and everybody just a swaying and a wooing and a caring, worshiping. No. Nope. That woman at the well talked about, we worship. Where do we worship? That was her deal. Now, what about this? You know, our fathers say that here's where you ought to worship, but the Jews say we ought to worship in Jerusalem. He said, oh, woman, you worship you know not what. What are you talking about? And that's just the way it is now, ain't it? They're worshiping. They don't know what. So that little 2-year-old girl in the car seat couldn't even talk. But they had Elvis music going. And she was doing just what they do in the church. She had her hands in the air and she had her eyes closed and she was just swaying back and forth. I said, look at that. She's worshiping with Elvis music going. Can't even talk. What does that say about the worship that's going on in these churches? They claim to care about God, but not about holiness. They're not a true worshiper of God. They invented a God in their heart that's to their own liking, but that kind of God is never holy. All the pagan gods, do you know what they are? They're supermen, free sex, immorality. That's what it all is about. They have gods and goddesses, and all of them are always having sex. And it's always in a superhuman form, free, I mean, no bounds, nothing barred. That's their gods they invent. Never have a God besides the God of heaven who created all things. They don't ever have a God that's holy. None of them are. Is Allah holy? They don't even claim that. Is any of the rest of them holy? By Apollos. Jupiter, any of them, y'all ever read them? You know what Diana was? The sex goddess. Yeah. And that's what all of their, they invent gods to their own liking, and there's never any holiness about them. So when people start talking like they're Christians and they're serving Jesus and no morality, they're idolaters. Just as much, and they're just as pagan as those who worship Jupiter and Zeus. God's not like that. God's holy. If you really love someone, you'll seek their honor. If you love God, you'll seek His honor. Children who love their parents seek to honor their parents, not shame them and deceive them and dishonor them. Do you hear me? Not bring them down in the sight of others, but hold them up instead. Children who dishonor their parents love themselves, not their parents. Parents need to swallow that pill and understand. They don't love you. They just don't love you.
That's right.
If they loved you, they'd honor you. If you love God, you'll honor God. And that's the way it is. If you don't honor God and you don't care, you don't love God. You'll have a desire to. Wives who love their husbands will seek to honor their husbands, not to cause others to think poorly of them and esteem them lightly. Wives that love their husbands are going to honor their husbands. You promise to when you get married, don't you? Love, honor. Yeah, I think that's in there. Sure do. And I just know that that's the way it is. When you love somebody, you'll honor them. And if you love God, you'll honor Him. And your desires won't matter that much. His honor comes before your desires, your opinions, your likes and dislikes, and what you think is important. God's honor comes first. Mm-hmm. That's why I come to church. Yeah. Because it's God's house. It's the Lord's day. This is where we're supposed to be. It's just never been a question. It's one of them deals since I did what that African preacher talked about this morning. Since I made up my mind and I'm following Jesus and I'm one of His, it's just not even questionable. I go to church. There's no issue. It was never an issue at our house. The kids never had to come to me and say, "Well, we're going to church this week." Did you? No. Wasn't no issue. We go in church because that's what we do. It's God's house. God's honor is at stake. Neighbors watch. The children watch. Our family's watching. The relatives know. Well, we don't need to go this week. We done been so many times. Others are watching saying, well, we know what they really believe about God. It doesn't matter. People who love God will seek God's honor. Wives who dishonor their husbands like that love themselves and not their husbands. He ain't fooling nobody. That's the way it is. People who love God will seek God's honor. And they'll be very, very careful to avoid things in their own lives that could bring dishonor or shame to God. Now think about it. And, has the Holy Spirit of God ever corrected you about things like that? Have you ever just blurted out something and then thought, oh no? Or later you thought about it and said, oh no, why did I say that? Yeah, I have too. But you know what it done for me? It made me be more careful. It made me stop and think a little more before I did some stupid thing like that again. Because I said something in front of some lost person or something and it just shouldn't have been said. I could have done so much better for God if I hadn't said that. People who don't care about honoring God with their life don't love God. They love themselves. And they're still in the bonds of iniquity, if you want to know the truth about it. They'll avoid anything that could cause someone else to misunderstand or become confused about God. You care about that. And you desire to be holy. And you desire to live in a way that other people will know and understand God. The desire for true holiness is the driving force in the life of a true child of God. He wants to be like Christ. He has a desire to be like Him. He wants to be used by God as an instrument of grace so that others might know Christ also. You just have that desire. You want others to know. You want others to understand. You look at lives. Don't you? Do you have some relatives? Do you have some people you work with? Do you ever look at them and see what a mess their life is in? And you look at them and you think, do you ever visualize them in your mind, cleaned up, in their right mind, sitting in church, saying amen to the preacher, weeping for joy. It takes that for somebody to ever get saved. Somebody's got to believe for them. When Jesus saw their faith, the four men that brought the man to Jesus, when he saw their faith, didn't say nothing about this guy. He just looked at him and said, when he saw their faith, he looked at him and said, thy sins be forgiven thee. Study that for a while. What you need to take away from that is when Jesus saw their faith. Does he ever look at you and see you believing for somebody else? See you praying. I remember, I think Brother Parker talked one time about somebody that he knew, and that's the way it was. It just got to the point, you know, where he had a burden for them. Now, that's the way we put it. We got a burden for somebody. Well, if you really got a burden for somebody, that's what it is. Old Dwight was that way. You know, he'd get somebody on his heart, and he didn't just hound them to death, but he prayed for them, and he really carried a burden for them. I remember hearing him prayer meeting and stuff, crying for some old person that he knew that he was working on them, he was praying for them, he was visiting them, and I seen people get saved that he dealt with like that. Yeah. That's the way it works, folks. You care, you love like Jesus. You be like him. And people, it's what makes them get to know God. It gets them to God. All right. He wants to be used by God. He's not drawn to the world and ready to bolt at the first opportunity. He's an inspiration and encouragement to others to seek God and holiness. It's not real confusing to me anymore when people bolt and run. I mean, I don't think, well, what's the deal? I thought they were saved. I've heard them pray. They've been in church for years, and they quit. It doesn't confuse me. You know, I mean, I understand. They never did. And when you stop and you look back on it in hindsight and look at their life and what they did and how their attitude was, they never really cared for God anyway. You won't find people that are in love with God who forsake him for the world and sinful the sewer. Yeah, they don't do that. Hogs return to their wallering in the mire. And dogs return to their vomit. But real Christians don't. They don't. Now that's what the Bible's teaching there. I'm going to read you some verses and then I'm going to quit. But first, let me say this. He's an inspiration and an encouragement to others to seek God and holiness. That's one of the effects of holiness in our life, is it makes others desire it also. They don't despise it. I know Christians that they go around and they try to, you know, they go in a place of business where they're playing music, and it's a place where, I mean, it's of the world. You go in there and demand they shut that music off because it's offensive to you. You're a stink in the nostrils of the world. If you don't want to hear that music, don't go in there. And don't go in there trying to lord it over sinners. You make them despise you and hate God. It's a terrible representation of God. Yeah. No, sir. The real kind of holiness at work in our life works like salt. It makes you thirsty. And it makes others thirsty. When they see the love and compassion and kindness, and they see the real Christ-likeness in you, you know, kindness, we've talked about it a lot. Kindness is a universal language. Everybody understands it. And it'll make them, it'll put something in them. You're sowing a seed in their heart. And you got to wait for it. It's what we were talking about today, I think. But everything is for later. Oh, I know what it was a while ago. Seth said, you remember the video that we were talking about of the man in the truck singing, the old man's dead, here 3 or 4 weeks ago, maybe it was, 2 or 3 or 4 weeks ago. Well, Seth said he passed away this morning. He passed away. And so these kids put that video up on there and said it had been seen over 6 million times. And said he just wanted to do that. You know, for his kids and everything. And he knew he had bad problems. He knew he had cancer. He knew he probably didn't have long to live. I doubt that he knew it was going to be this quick. But nevertheless, you know what it left in the minds and hearts of his children and grandchildren and everybody. He honored God. And you know what it creates in them? A desire to find what he had. Because he died with grace. Yes, sir. Died honoring God, praising God, giving glory to God and thanks to God. Talking about God's goodness and what he's like. And it creates in others that desire. That's what we want. We want them to look to Christ and be saved. All right, I'm going to read these verses. It's from Psalm 29:2. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Psalm 90, verse 17. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. What is his beauty? We just read it there. The beauty of holiness. Let the beauty of the Lord be our God be upon us. And establish thou the work of our hands upon us. The work of our hands establish thou it. Alright? Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Well, what is the beauty? Holiness. Let us be holy people. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Put on a new man. That new creation of any man being Christ, he's a new creature. What is that new creature like? He's truly holy. One more verse. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 7. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. So God's called us unto holiness. Without holiness, no man will see the Lord. We can't behold his face unless it's in holiness and his righteousness. So what do you think y'all do about it tonight? Thinking you ought to live holy? What does it mean? What does it mean now? Is it a list of things we can do and can't do? Is that how you define holiness? No, it's the measure of the influence of your life on others for God and how well you represent God to others. You walk with him. He's an ever-present one with us. He said, I'll guide. He told this in the Old Testament. He said, I will guide thee with mine eye. You got to be looking at him to know what he wants you to do. Children do that, don't they? You can guide them with the eye. One look tells them, you better stop it, bud. One look tells them, it's okay. Go ahead. That's the way God guides his children. So we walk with him. He guides us. The beauty of his holiness is upon us. And it makes us the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And that's how we lead people to know God. Yeah. It's the way that works. It's not a 4-point plan, sales pitch, presentation that's logical and intellectual. It's the real deal. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. All right, let's stand. All right, I appreciate everybody listening. I hope you'll take it to heart. Think about it tomorrow when you go to work, when you're out there in this world where the filth rules, where the darkness and the stink of it all is at, and you're in the middle of it. Think of this. One of those quotes of, I believe, Raven Hill there this morning. Let me see. I got it right here. Let me see if I can see that. Said, I think the greatest miracle that God can do is to take an unholy man out of an unholy world and make that unholy man holy and put him back in an unholy world and keep him holy. There you go. And God does that. Amen. All right. Be ye holy, even as God is holy. Yeah, all right. All right, well, let's have a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. Gary, you want to dismiss us? Amen. All right.